Discipleship demands sacrifice. Disciple means one who's willing to be taught. That's all disciple means. Are you a disciple tonight? Very few are. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows everything about everything. But there are some, and quite a few, Christians that really want to be disciples. They really want to learn. And so to be a disciple, one of the things, one of your responsibilities, or one of the hazards, may I say, of being a disciple is that you've got to be willing to sacrifice. And very few want to sacrifice. Everybody wants to live the, you know, they want to live the life of a king and or a queen. They want to live the life of not never have to worry about anything, never have to have any problems, never have to have any suffering. And I'm going to tell you something, that that's not the way it is. My wife and I went off to eat today. She took a, here's a cracker for you, brother. Amen. What in the world that thing is in my hand there? Josh will get it. Amen. It's all crumbled up, man. Just eat it, man. All right. So I want you to look at this carefully. We read this scripture, all right? He's not going to eat it yet. Just wait, all right? Okay. Matthew chapter 8, beginning of verse 19. And a certain scribe. Anybody know what a scribe is? A writer, a law copyist, they call them. They copy the law, copy the right to the word of God. Amen. A law expert, a scribe. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, well, he called him the right thing, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. How about that? Did Jesus ask him to come follow him? No. I understand that now. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the bird of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What is that? Sacrifice. Hey, you want a job? Well, this job says that no benefits. Foxes have holes. In other words, they have a home. Birds there have a nest. They have a home. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to understand the scriptures here, that you'd help us to be more like you. And Lord, help us to be willing to sacrifice and take the demands of service, that we may be more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it interesting, note, that these men who asked to follow Jesus, they literally came up and they volunteered their service to him. And it doesn't say that Jesus asked them to follow him, but they said that they go anywhere that Jesus went. And when Jesus explains to them what the ministry really involves, the sacrifice and the service, funniest thing is that when Jesus Christ moves to the next area of service, they're not there. They're not there. They're not there. I'm not going to toot my horn, but I've been a pastor for 44 years. And I know many who felt the call of God upon their lives. You've seen them. You've heard them. You've been at this church while people walk forward and raise their hand and say, I believe that God has called me to the ministry, or I believe that God called me to the mission field. I believe God has called me to be a pastor. I believe God has called me to be a, you know, evangelist. Scripture says that we better consider the call. You better consider the call. Get into ministry. There's no 30-day vacations. There's no the BAQ, B what? BAQs, B. What do you guys get for eating? Whatever. So when you go into something, you better check it out. You better first of all make sure that mama's ready. She'll ruin you. She'll take you down like a sinker, amen. You better make sure that you know what is going on. I had a family in our church years and years and years ago, and he said, God told me to be a pastor. And I said, I was really stupid back in those days. I said, no, he hasn't. He said, what do you mean? I said, your wife will never make it. Ooh! Quit the church, by the way. Still not a pastor. He never could have been a pastor. If he'd listened to me, I could have helped him. And he'd been a great helper in our church. But boy, he got a burr under his saddle because I told him the truth. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? God doesn't put a pastor here just to preach your sermons. I'm not just your preacher. I'm also your pastor.
Amen.
I talked to a guy the other day, and he says, talking about another pastor in the area, and he says, he's really not the pastor. He just preaches. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to the Word of God. If you read Revelation, I've been reading every night, I've been going over it, went over it again today, to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And it talks about the angel of the church. And it's a mystery, and John opens it up and says, the mystery is the angel is the pastor of the church. I'm an angel. But that hurts. I don't know if I can do that or not. But anyway. And God directs everything to who? The angel of that church. Hey, church at Laodicea, I'm going to take away your candlestick. You're neither hot nor cold. I want to spew you out of my mouth. And God fires at that angel of that church. So it's a good idea to have someone who has gone through a little bit of sacrifice to say, hey, can I help you a little bit on this thing? A real pastor wants everybody to go in the ministry. You know that? We want you all to go. Some just won't leave. But anyway, we want all of you to go. We want all of you to serve God. But there's certain qualifications, certain responsibilities, certain things that make up the ministry that it's only by the grace of God that you make it. Okay? I'm trying to help you here. I really am. And I want you to understand that, yeah, the ministry, when I was in college, we'd have preachers come in and tell us horrors of the ministry. I mean, just, oh, bad. Oh, you know what? Oh, hey, I never want to say that. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I love being in the ministry.
Amen.
Boy, I've been in it 44 years. I better love it. But it is many times very desperate. Many times very scary. Many times you just kind of, oh, my goodness, do we got to go through this again? Paul the Apostle, when he tells about all the things he did in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and he said, and for the care of the churches. He added, and for the care of churches, or being shipwrecked, being naked, being cold, being starving. He named all that, and then he said, and for the church, and for the care of the churches. So there must be something in there that, you know, it's not for the feeble. It's not for the guy that you just can't cut and run. You know, hunker down or go forward, you know. And sometimes you just got to grit your teeth, amen. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit. The Bible says, for many are called, but few are chosen. I've known many who felt the call of God in their lives, yet when the rubber hits the road, you never can find them. It's a serious thing to be called in the ministry of God. If you can do anything else, do it. I've heard millions of times, ever since I was a young kid, all the way to college, in the ministry,
If you can do anything else, do it. Don't be a preacher. Don't be a missionary. But if it's God's call upon your life, and you can't but stand before a sacred desk, you ought to be so happy that God has called you, man. And you ought to be so happy that you've been around people that are called and you can be there to assist them and encourage them. Amen.
Amen.
Here we find a man, he promises Jesus that he'll go anywhere. Didn't he say that? Where's he at? That's all, folks. Exit, state, left, to the right. Gone. What happened? Well, he finally realizes what Jesus Christ said. Hey, the foxes have hold. See, everybody sees this. Like on my anniversary, 2 years ago anniversary, our anniversary at Heritage Baptist Church, y'all gave me a car. Everybody sees that. Said, yeah, man, I want to be a preacher so I can get a car. And there's more to it than that, amen? It's those 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Calls. Some of you were going to say rock, weren't you? It says calls in the morning and says, hey, preacher, my wife left me. Hey, preacher, my husband's going to leave me. Hey, preacher, I don't know what to do. My kid's in trouble. I don't know what to do. My kid's in jail. I don't know what to do. Pastor, my grandma's dying. My mama's dying. Pastor, we're sick and tired of your preaching. Oh, good for you. So am I. I hear myself preach all the time. That's not fair. You treat other people different. And I don't know, we could go with the horror stories, but I ain't going to go there tonight. But I'm going to talk to you about some sacrifices that have to be made. Here's a man that promised God to go any place. He's not there. Why? Simply, the whirling cry is always, what's the next guy say? What's the next guy say in Matthew there? Suffer me first. Suffer me first. The whirling says, suffer me first. If you take your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, Colossians 3, 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affections of things above, and not on things on the earth. Verse 5, mortify. We get the word mortician, we get the word mortify. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So he's saying, if you're going to be serving me, here's some things you've got to do. And here's some things you can't do. The whirling says, hey, suffer me first. Let me dabble in sin. Let me, as a teenager, try a whole bunch of stuff. And then, when it's all over, then I'll go back to God. First of all, you have no idea how far you'll go and how long it'll take and what it'll cost you. Psalm 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set... Proverbs 23, 5. Wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Oh, if I can just get rich. I've heard a lot of people in this church. Boy, you know, they're accumulating. All that. And I'm just going to pull over and park for a second to tell you something that just happened in my wife and our life. You know that Heritage Baptist Church for a number of years, I think about 3 or 4 years, have been putting $500 to $550 away every month for my retirement. How many understand that? How many know that?
I took the advice of a money man, and I was getting what they call 401. What do they call those things? And last month I received a note that they went into bankruptcy and receivership, and over $20,000 of your pastor's, really your money, they gave to Miss. It's gone. I thought it was a sure thing. I thought it was great. If I'd known that, I would have put it in my own safe. But I was encouraged to put it someplace else, and this would draw interest, and, you know, I wanted to be a very good steward of the money you gave me. I'm very serious about that. I never take for granted what my church gives me. You understand that? And a month ago, I received this. I've been working with Edward Jones. Edward Jones had two of the finest lawyers in Great Falls check it out, and they just told me Friday, Dr. Shearer, I don't think there's any hope you are recouping any of that money back. We're sorry. May I read a scripture to you? And by the way, God is the one that takes care of us. May I read a scripture to you? Proverbs 23:5. Wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. And I have seen people so stingy with their money. Wouldn't, for instance, like, wouldn't even help a kid to go to camp. Or they're so stingy. They're so afraid that somebody may get some of their money. Well, let me tell you something. It's not your money. It's God's money. And God said, I'll tell you what. You take all that money. You use all my money. But I'll tell you what. I want you to bring to the storehouse one-tenth, and then you use the rest of my money. It's all God's money. Sometimes people don't use God's money right. They squander it. They spend it on unnecessary things. They, you know, and on and on and on. You know, all that stuff. I talk about that. Was it Wednesday? I talked to you about that. We need to be very careful about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to get rich, I'll tell you what. It can be gone like that.
Right?
So, don't put your hopes in your money. Amen? John, 1 John chapter 2, 7. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. You folks should help tonight and take the little boys to girls' camp, and I get to have a great time with those kids. I'm telling you what, you never seen kids get so excited in your whole life. Hey, these kids have nothing, and you just gave them something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Pass the biscuits. Man, put some honey and gravy on it. Amen. Oh, man. Yeah. And you know what? Let me tell you something. You're not going to miss that 160. You're not going to miss that 50. You're not going to miss that 60. You go down there, you go to Walmart. Man, isn't that amazing? How many got a $20 bill in your pocket right now? I'm not going to take it. I'm just asking you. Everybody, man, you get very jumpy. That $20 bill. Give a $20 bill in church. That's big money, amen? Take that stinking little thing over to Walmart. See how good it is. Shows you where your God is, amen? Walmart or church, amen? Psalm 49:17. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Listen to me. The other day, got a call, Cascade. I'm at the sheriff's office for a moment because I came in and I had to make a death notification for a man. This lady that passed, or that burned herself in Cambridge at Parkdale. And I went in and made notification to her son that's in the jail, and told her mama was dying. She had 6 to 12 hours to live. You get a phone call from
police from the city PD and say, hey, can you go up and tell them her mom passed away? Walked in, talked to him about the Lord. He'd accepted Christ as the personal Savior a while back. He was, mama had some problems, wasn't thinking right, smoking, caught the thing fire. What do they think? And she burned to death. I no more got out of that. They went over to my office, and we got a call 1060, which means a dead body. They found a dead body. Lieutenant says, come on, Captain, go with me. Got the car, went over there. We weren't sure what was going on. Lights and siren all the way. Got to the place. Here's a man dead. That's it. He had a whole bunch, he had no family, whatever, blah, blah, blah. A lot of stuff in his house. And I said, Lieutenant, he ain't taking on with him, is he? You can accumulate everything you want, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no U-Haul behind a hearse yet. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you work your full head to the and your fingers to the bone to get this and get that and try to do this, try that. Miss raising your children because you're out working so hard and all of a sudden you can't figure out what's wrong with your kids. Hello! What's more important in this world? Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Oh, if I can just get something else. When we were redoing this building, there's a guy from California. He's a multi-millionaire, pretty close to a billionaire. And he thought it'd be a kick to come along with his friend and help with a church, building a church. Unfortunately, he did not realize that he was going to find Jesus Christ as a personal Savior here. He was going to get baptized here. I'm still not getting his tithes. It bothers me. And one day we're sitting around, we're talking, and before I let him to the Lord, I said, what do you do? He said, he told me what he did. I said, I'll bet you it cost you a lot of money for guard dogs. Yeah, I said, it does. He said, well, you know what really makes me mad? I get to the place I know in this great big warehouse that I've got something I need in there and I can't find the key to open it up because I have so many warehouses. And I looked at him and I said, hey, buddy, let me ask you this. If you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, I'm really not sure about that. He said, that really has concerned me after I've been here for a little bit and see you guys around here. And I said, you know what? Everything that you own, when you die, is going to be somebody else's. That shook him. What does the Bible say? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Oh, man, if we can just go out and have that big steak. Just go over to Montana Club and get that great big steak. Boy, man, life is going to be good. Go out to Cattle and get that big 64-ounce. Boy! That's their God, their belly. Oh, they just live to eat. Live to do certain things. Live to be high rollers. And whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the cry of natural man. First let me waste my affections on the clay. Then, if there's any left over, I'll donate it to God. Jesus said, follow me. I am the life. You need not linger there. You will be seeking the living among the dead. Follow me. You must realize that here on earth, nothing loves you. Listen to me now. Nothing loves you. That what you loved will soon be gone. Follow me. I am the only true light, Jesus says. The master of the kingdom of life, I am the way of life. Life is not a complaint, but an action. Life is not to be spent grieving, but doing. Life is an action. The music of the harp is beautiful, but it has not served the world as the music of the hammer. Oh, you can listen to music, but it ain't going to help you. You put a hammer in your hand, get some nails, get the wood, you build a house. There's certain things that are essential in this life. The past should not be the tombstone, but a garden. The scripture carefully illustrates a unreflecting emotionalist, the ambition of the worldling is this, that if I can just accumulate, I'll be okay. Doesn't work that way, folks. The more you get, the more you're afraid someone's going to steal. The more you get, the more it breaks down. Or you can get brand new stuff, but they'll break. What is your life? What's it made up of? Here you have the subject, following Christ. Every man has a master. Some their master is their business. Some their master is their home. Some their master, every man is a master. He has a master passion. He has a master power. He is the servant of consent. And he suffers me first to do the inferior. And suffer me first to care for myself. Suffer me first to take care of my household. Suffer me first to take care of my business. Suffer me first to take care of my party. Suffer me first after I take care of my enterprise. I want you to note that man does not throw away his Bible, nor defy his God, nor sell his soul. He only needs to say, suffer me first so I can take care of my family. Suffer me first to do the lesser thing that God wants me to do. The moment that is done, there will be another suffer me first in that place. Have you ever noticed that? You're working on something and you try to get that done and something else get that done. And all day long, you don't get this, do you? What? Well, I got to do that, and 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 if I don't get that done, I can't get to that. And before you know it, it's nighttime, and you're too tired to even read the Bible. Ever happened to any of you? If I could raise the other one, I'd probably split my pants, but I would. Things get in our way. It seems like when you're going to battle fire, there's always brush fires, little spots that you got to put out before you can get to fight the right fire. But if you don't fight these little fires, you'll never be able to put anything out. Best thing, don't let the fires get going, amen. A man of the city had a big dream. He was fascinated by raising fruit in southern Michigan, and he moved to the country, and he set up orchards of great anticipation of the result. But no sooner did he get those trees started than all nature becomes a tormentor. Frost blasted blossoms. Worms gnar the roots. Insects sting their blossoms and roots. And when he had toiled year after year, brought his trees into such a state that he knew that it was going to be a great profusion of delicious fruit, a black wart seized the plum trees, the gum canker attacked his cherry trees, and the winter blight killed the pear trees, and the apple trees will not bear anyhow. At last, in disgust of raising fruit, he came back to the big city and said, I prefer, after all, that people should be proponents of the science of fruit and cultivating. I've had enough of gardening. Anyway. But there are some men that go into the fruit production, and you understand that there's a lot of sacrifice that go into that before you can bear fruit. There's some people that get almost to the point and they just quit. There's some guys that go to college and just, boy, God called them to preach. God called them to preach, and all of a sudden, I remember Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to preach about possum chasing. Not old possum, possum chasing. Got to get a rabbit dog, and a rabbit dog starts chasing a possum instead of doing what he's supposed to do. And he preached that in that chapel service. He said, some of you boys are going to see a possum, and she's pretty, and she smells good, and you're going to start chasing her instead of going after what God told you to do, amen. You'll always get the rabbit if you stay on his trail. You'll always get sidetracked to chase the possum. And there's a lot of possum chasing in us today. Boy, I'll tell you, Lord, I'll tell you, we'll do this. Hey, preacher, I'll tell you, we'll do that no matter what. And all of a sudden, what they're doing, they're going to possum chase off, and they get their old nose to the ground and chase that stinking old possum. Now, you can eat a possum if you want, but I'd rather have a rabbit. And sometimes in life, you're very close to winning, and you quit. Sacrifice. The Jew slave. The true slave has one eye for his master. One hand for his master. One end for his master. One heart for his master. One prayer for his master. And one desire to please his master. And I'll tell you what, to be a real slave, you've got to be a sacrifice, because you've got to sacrifice everything you believe, everything you want to do, just to make sure that master is happy. What do you mean you want me to clean that out? I was going on a date tonight. What do you mean you want me to stay all night and protect that? Man, I want to come home to my family. What do you mean you expect me to go over here in a far country and not know anybody there and have to learn their language and have to learn their culture and have to live where they live? And what do you mean? I want to be home and I want to sit down and have my barbecue and I want to have my friends over. What do you mean I got to go over there all by myself? You missed it. You missed it. Private Shear, recruiting, reporting for duty, sir. I do not have a life. Sam and I were talking about it. Just talking about it. People gripe about their jobs. You signed up, stupid. It's your job. You ought to thank God you got a job. I know people who love to have a job like you have. You're complaining. Everything you do, you're to do it for Christ's sake. If you're in the military, you ought to work so hard, make your brain buzz, try to get more of them stripes on your arm, amen, or more brass on your shoulder. Everything you do, everything you ought to do is for Jesus Christ's sake. It's a sacrifice. By the way, once I hear the trump, or once they lay my head in that pillow in that coffin, the sacrifice is over. And bless God, it's straight up from them. But while I'm here, it is my responsibility, it is my God-given right that I sacrifice for Lord Jesus Christ. and there's few people. Lord, hey, I'll go any place you want to go. All right, let's go. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there. Nepal, it's so dirty there. People are sick all the time. Why in the world would I want to go there? Why would I want to go to Philippines? Why would I want to go to Russia? Why would I want to go to China? Why would I ever want to go there? The Bible says something about being not fit. If you're not willing to do it, don't do it. I wish half the preachers would quit. If you don't want to do it, get out of the way. Just get out of the way. There's some missionaries out there. They're really missionaries. They're no visionaries. They love going around different churches and present their ministry and gathering the love gifts and go out to, you know, Disney World and go to Six Flags or Seven Flags. I don't know how many flags they got, amen. And go here and go there and here and there. Man, they just having a ball. I was sitting at a dinner table with my son, Corey. Corey's probably about, maybe 14, 15 years old. We were sitting talking about it. I said, Dad, you know that missionary? I said, yeah. He says, they have 70% of their support. Dad, if they're really called, why don't they just go? Has a 14-year-old tell me. He said, Dad, you used to go and work jobs. And I said, son, a little different in foreign countries. You can't have a job. Well, he said, I know, but they don't have to have everything to go. At least they've been serving the Lord. Don't you think God will take care of them? Stated 14-year-old preaching at me, man. I don't want a missionary right now. Well, I'm supposed to be a missionary. I think 7 years they're still trying to get money to go to the mission field. I can't judge them. I'm not in their shoes, but if God called me to do something, I'd be doing it. I remember over in Okinawa, brother. Come on. See him right now. I have glasses. Okinawa. Come on, help me. Gardner. Dan Gardner. He said, I had a nervous breakdown. He said, I was trying to learn the Japanese language and I couldn't remember. He said, on my head, on my table, on my chair, and I started to cry. I said, oh God, you called me to be a missionary in Japan. I can't even get this language. But he said, I got up from my chair. I excused myself from the teacher. And I grabbed a whole bunch of tracts. And I walked out and I just passed them. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know to say Ohio or anything else. You know, I just passed them out. He said, there are some kids in that, there are some missionary candidates who are in there. They were learning the language and man, they were picking up. But he says, you know, they didn't last. They never passed out of track while they were in missionary training school. Now Dan Gardner's doing a great job. His wife lost her eyes, sight. Wonderful people. He said, I really had a nervous breakdown, almost a nervous breakdown. And I felt so terrible that I was taking money from churches who sacrificed to give to me so I could learn the language, so I could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Japan. That's the kind of people I like to support. The true Christian slave has one eye, one hand, one hand, one heart, one prayer, one desire. I guess the question is, have we attained that? Not a soul amongst us who come within a millionth mile of attainment. But if we desire it and hope for it and struggle towards it, and God will take the broken column as if it were, a pillar complete with glittering point, the answer of Jesus to the The arranging of making persons an answer of unreserved and absolute surrender. One old preacher asked this question to his congregation in the morning. He said, "Do you suppose that we have given Christ everything?" And he said, "I have not." If you have, I have nothing to say to you. I am burying my father and still completing my bargain. His father means his old, the old father, you know, the Satan. I'm completing my bargain. I'm still adding to my estate. I'm still studying the ways and tricks of the perverse world. I am still hushing my breath so that not awaken the sleeper. I am going after Christ, but I must first golf this cup, inhale this fragrance, breathe this in this cloud. I'm coming presently. This is what you said to me when I asked you to join the church. Are you willing to surrender Christ and to become an out-and-out Christian? You didn't say to me, no. You just said, thank you. I will come presently. Jesus once said to Christ, "We have left all and followed thee." Christ replied, "No man has ever left his father, mother, sister, brother, houses, or land for my sake and the gospel, but shall receive a hundredfold in this present life and in the world to come everlasting." Boy, I'll tell you what, we think we've really given it up. Boy, wow. We've really given everything. Horseradish. That's not what the answer which he made to the scribe. He said to him, "Set forth the severe, and by he would enter into it graciously." His gospel does not tempt us. The kingdom of heaven is not a bribe. It is the first, a cross, a discipline, a pain, an agony. Afterwards, sweet quiet with heaven. But right now, we got a job to do. There are people going to hell, and we're sitting here doing nothing. We come to our club on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we listen to the preacher, and he tells a few jokes, and he tells a few things, and, oh, yeah, that's good, boy, that's cool, everything. But seriously, folks, Great Falls is going to hell. You work with them every day. In the case of Peter, the great act had been done. The case of the scribe was about to be done. The scribe would have been misled in the great promise that had been held out to him. He therefore had revealed to him only the dark aspects of the great adventure. My wife, we used to go do some things that kind of winging a prayer, you know. And we'd call it, "Well, wonder what kind of adventure we're going to get into now." Life is an adventure. You might as well enjoy it. Today I almost did it. I didn't. If my wife wasn't there, I would have done it. There's a guy that's in the Golden Corral we're eating, and on the back of this, he was on a tour group, and it said Jerry, and I was going to come. "Hey Jerry, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you for a long." Oh, I'm just going to really. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Life's an adventure. You might as well laugh about it because there's going to be sad times. There's going to be times that people are going to hurt you, people are going to use you, going to tear you up, going to just rip you up in one eye and the other, going to drag you around the room, stomp on you, and spit in your face. This Christian business is not an easy thing. It's a sacrifice. Don't you tell me it's not. Here are two possible disciples. One who is hasty. He's an official leader of religion. He's enraptured by seeing the gracious ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in Galilee and journey. Wow! Look at that! guys get to see. Guy jumps up and runs around and happy and jumping up and down and praising God. There's a man who's dead, he raises. A little girl dead, raises. Here's a man who had leprosy. Here's a man that Jesus spits on the ground, puts some mud in his eyes. He said, "How do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees." He does it again. All of a sudden he sees, on and on. Casts out demons. Man, this is cool. Man, I like that.
He'll follow Jesus anywhere. He attached to Jesus. Naturally wants to follow him. Everybody wants to be in the carnival, amen. Then we have the reluctant disciple. The first disciple had not waited for the call of God. He was a bold volunteer. Now Christ calls another disciple. When Christ calls, the duty response should be what? Immediately. I'm going to tell you something I detest. When I ask a child to come to me, I want him there. I detest a child when you say, "Son, come here," and you just look at you like, and don't give me that 1, 2, 3, because I can be there in 1, 2, 3. When I want you here, I want you here now. I saved a couple more boys' life because of that. I whistled one of my boys. He ran to me, and when he ran to me, semi truck went right by. It would have killed him. When Jesus says, now, he means now. Had a family in our church 30 years ago. Great family. God called him to preach. I really believe he did. And he hesitated. He joined up for 4 more years because he didn't think he could make it financially. Today, he's a drunkard. He lives by himself. His children are sodomites. And all he had to do was say, "Yes, sir." Fall in line. How many of you guys remember boot camp? Pretty hard to forget it, isn't it? Line up! Well, man, you snap too. Double time. You're there, right? Amen? Keeps y'all out of trouble. Keeps them peeling potatoes, amen? So often, I think the Christian life is an awful lot like the military life. And God says now, he didn't mean yesterday. He means now. God called you to do it. Because many times people miss out on those blessings. Marcia, you're okay. You're all right. Sometimes people miss out on God's blessings because they do not do what God tells them to do immediately. Note the excuse. I got to bury my father. According to the manners and customs of the New Testament period of time, the Eastern community buried their deceased on the what?
Same day.
Same as Jewish friends do today. You bury him before sundown, right?
Yeah.
Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Acts chapter 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Not much time to mourn, amen? Burial in the East, pretty quick. America, we was 3-4 days. Most of the sons would be away but a few hours. What he literally wanted to do was wait for his father to die. And then he'd serve the Lord. He postponed his service to Jesus Christ. Oh, but what if my parents get sick and die while I'm on the mission field?
They're going to die. You'll see them in heaven if they're saved. Amen? Get out of life. Think of the thousands upon thousands that you could be winning to Jesus Christ by staying and doing what God wants you to do. Then the question is this. How do you ever win over the flesh? How can I win over this thing that I call flesh? Our carnal nature, the flesh, is not just the body. Someone has said, the flesh is the enemy who is pressing through the gates, which is the devil. The flesh is a part of being a want to sin. That part of us that want to do what Satan would have us to do instead of obeying Christ. Can I please God if I allow my flesh to reign in the body? Not according to Paul. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. If we are carnally minded, does not bring our life or death of our Lord Christian lives. Romans 8:6. For the carnally minded is death, but spiritual minded is life and peace. I want peace. I want peace. Oh, I want peace. 11 days my grandkids in my house. And once a while, someone had an issue with the other one. And someone wanted what somebody else had. Will you explain this to me? Kids sitting, watching a cartoon, and the other kid's out playing outside. Another kid sitting there with an iPad, just playing a little game. Everything is cool. And all of a sudden, one of those hillbillies comes in the house. Goes right to the kid with the iPad and grabs it out of his hand, and all of a sudden, it all breaks loose. And the kid watching the cartoon, shut up, man, I'm trying to listen to it. And the other kid, no, that's mine. I said, whoa. And the parent comes in. Give him that. I said, wait. I really did. I said, wait a minute. I said, everything was cool, man. Until he came inside. He wasn't doing anything inside. This kid was really quiet. Wasn't doing a thing. Is that right? Busted! But I love peace. Don't you love peace? Quiet peace. I mean, there's a time to war, and a time to fight, and a time to love, and a time to dance, and a time to... Well, maybe you shouldn't dance, but anyway. How do I gain the victory? I want to do this. I must yield the Spirit by mortifying or putting to death the flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. I'll illustrate that. There's a young man who was brutalized by his father. Just brutalized by his father. And his father died. And this kid hated his father so bad, but he'd become a Christian. And he went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I just want to go to his grave and just yell and scream and holler at him and kick the dirt and just say, you're the meanest man I ever met in my life. And the guy was just crying. The preacher says, okay, let's do it. And he got in the car and the preacher took him to the burial grave of his father. And the kid walks up to the grave. And you can just see it building up. You ever seen people just get really mad, just build up, and their gills start opening up, you know? It's hot. And all the things were flooding him of the things that his father had done to him. Mean, nasty things. He walked up to that grave. He turned to the preacher and says, it ain't going to no good. Preacher, what do you mean? He says, he's dead. He's dead. Preacher says, yeah, I know. He said, what did you bring me out here for? He said, I want to tell you, the same way in your flesh. If you're willing to mortify your body and say, this thing, don't run the show anymore.
He runs the show. I can't do anything about this whole thing that I got, except give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Paul was saying here. Rather to yield my member or my bodily parts to sinful desire, to yield ourselves to God. That's our choice. Will I serve God or will I not? We must set our minds to the things of God, including the worshiping God, praising God, reading God's Word, praying, witnessing, giving, church attendance, think of eternal things. Listen to the Bible said in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. How do I finish this? Our job is to pray for God in the Holy Spirit to fulfill with his presence, with his power, and a way of victory in my life. God, I can't run this little thing of mine. I said a little bit about this morning. A lot of people try to run your Christian life by yourself. A lot of you try to do things and figure things out. Listen, this is a spiritual war. It's not fair. And most of us all of us do not have the capacity of the spiritual in our mind. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work in our heart and our life. You getting what I'm trying to tell you? Mud. Things that happen to me, I really don't understand. And I must go to God and say, God, I don't understand this. I know you understand this because you've allowed these things to come into my life. So therefore, you're going to have to help me to figure these things out. And that's why James says that God will not get after you when you ask for wisdom. There's some things in your life you can't figure out. Isn't that right? You figure everything out? Not me, man. Woo! I'm a double zero, man. I'm a D minus. I'm pushing out, say man. So therefore, I must go to the Spirit God. To the Holy Spirit. And I must beg Him. And I must go to Jesus, who is my advocate, who come before the Father and say, Jesus, I don't get it. You've got to make intercession for me. You've got to plead my case. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that, who's the guy that just got off?
Zimmerman.
I'm sure Zimmerman really screwed that thing up if he'd done it himself. Now, I don't care what your persuasion is. That doesn't even make a difference to me. But the idea is, he was a lawyer. And the Lord, think of Jesus Christ, your lawyer. Do you think he's... And you go to him and say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this thing. You have a problem with your children? You go to the Lord. You have a problem with your wife? You go to the Lord. You have a problem with your husband? You go to the Lord. They said, you go, I don't understand this. I'm trying everything I can to make my house peaceful. I'm doing everything I can to do it. But Lord, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. And God says, go to the Word. God says, go to the Word. Fall on your face. Ask wisdom. And I will not upbraid you. You come to me and I'll help you in this thing. And I will send people to you that will help you. You can be victorious by yielding the Holy Spirit and praying for His power, and He'll give you the victory over the sinful lust of your flesh. You don't have to live like that. You guys got a problem with that stinking pornography? You don't have to live like that. No, you don't. First of all, have to be enough man to turn the stinking thing off. Yeah. And if you can't turn it off, get rid of the thing you're going to watch it on.
Yep.
That's pretty simple. Put it in the living room when your wife can watch it. Never turn it on unless the wife is there. You certainly wouldn't want your children watching what you are watching. Get rid of that TV in the bedroom. Get rid of that TV wherever you can see it without other people seeing it with you.
Open up your lights, open up your shades, and so people can look in your house. Some of you got big enough TVs, you can, the whole family, the whole city can watch yours. But you got to find some way to put the fire out. And some of you gals that are gossiping and complaining and griping about everything your husband does and everything your children do and everything this and that and everything your church does and always complaining, you better lock your lips. And you better come under the power of God. Because I'll promise you, it'll come around and bite you. It'll bite you. Yes, it will. If you start complaining, number one, that means you have no gratitude. Well, I don't know why we have this. Go to somebody's house and they have something new and you got something like that. Boy, I wish I had something like that. I think the Bible calls that covetousness.
Yeah.
Thank God for it. You pull in a new bike, you pull in a new four-wheeler, you pull in a new water waver, I don't know what they call them things. You pull in a brand new truck, you pull in a new car, hallelujah, praise the Lord, got a new more weapon, hey, good for you, amen. Good for you. Don't let that be to take you down. Raise yourself up. Hey, I tell you what, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And Satan's sure doing a good job on us, isn't he? He's beating us up. Well, here's our favorite. It's not fair. It's not fair. Well, first of all, Satan doesn't play fair and people don't care. You just better figure that one out right now. And it's your responsibility to take care of this thing right here, this heart of yours. I'll take care of my heart. You take care of your heart. You take care of your heart, you'll be okay. I don't care how cool that air conditioner is. It's hot up here. I'm done. Get it. Don't lose it. The Christian life is a life of what? Sacrifice. It's not just, it's not the hocus pocus. It's a life of sacrifice. You are sacrificing. You are a slave. Jesus said, you're no more slave. You're my friend. You're my family. But seriously, old Paul Apostle said, man, I'm a slave to Christ. I'm a bond slave. I don't want anything in this world. I just want to serve my Heavenly Father. You'll never be so happy in your life when you get to the point in your life when you say, Private Shear reporting for duty, sir. So not me, man. I want to be a lieutenant. I want to be a captain. I want to be a commander. Private's good enough for me. Airman. I like airman because we are going to be an airman someday. Absent of the body, present the Lord. Heat your heart out, Bud Light. Bud Light here. Somebody thinking about Bud Light. Shame on you guys. Anyway, I was thinking Bud Light here. I'm an airman. Lowly airman. Got one thing to do. I obey those who have rule over me. And when you obey those who have rule over you, you don't have to get any trouble, do you? You do exactly what they tell you to. Right? Exactly. That sergeant comes up and tells me to do it. I do exactly what he says. If something is wrong, guess who gets it? Who gets it? The airman. No. The guy that told him to do it. This is what it says. They give you a check order. Okay. We got a problem. This is what it says. We did exactly by the book. And it still didn't work. Whose fault is it? Wouldn't you rather do it by the book than do it by what you think you should do? Let's just do it by the book. You know I'm getting at. You know what I'm talking about, and you're not even going to grunt or mumble. Yeah, preacher, no good. Yeah, that's right, amen. Hey, let's do it.
Let's do what God says. Let's be willing to sacrifice. Let's be looking out there to see who we can help. And we can be a blessing. And we can be more like Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I don't want to quit this. I just ask you, Lord, I know you've given me this. And Lord, I don't know why, but you've given me this to preach to these dear folks today. And Lord, I pray you just help us understand we're servants. And we're here to sacrifice. And it's not about us. It's all about you. And Lord God, you said that if we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to do what you tell us. You said that even 100% even more in this world will be blessed by it. And I've seen that, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come at this time? You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm really going through it. I'm really going through it. I don't want to return sometimes. Preacher, pray for me tonight. God bless you. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand here tonight and say, preacher, God has spoke to my heart and my life. And there are certain things in my life that I just need some extra help. I need some extra help from God. All of us need extra help, but I need to get a hold of some things in my life. Walk closer to God. Here tonight and say, preacher, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time?